Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Dr. Artist Show. I'm your host, Dr. Brian Artis, and we'd like to say hi to all of our Brighteon.tv fans out there who's watching this live this morning. I hope you've had a great week. It's been a very somber weekend for me personally. I had no idea that I was going to find out that my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Rashid Batar, was going to pass away Thursday evening or on Thursday of last week. And then I was notified on Friday by family and friends. It has been a god-awful experience and gut-wrenching experience for me. There are going to be things that are occurring. His actual advanced medicine conference has been canceled for this coming weekend in St. Louis. I know my audiences already knew this. I did an interview with him last week to promote the actual advanced medicine conference and what audiences could expect. But we just want you to be aware that that is not happening this weekend. We are hoping and trying as a group of speakers, myself and Robert Scott Bell, who are very close to the family, are working to see if we can actually do the entire conference digitally. And we are in communication with the speakers to see how we can pull that off. And maybe, just maybe, Mike Adams and his group and team can help us do that for this weekend, which will be very exciting. All right. So right after these messages, we're going to be right back after this commercial break. I've got an incredible doctor, Dr. Jeff Crippen, that is going to be on this show with us. And he's just written a book. And I've got a copy, signed copy of that book. He also was a patient of mine and a colleague of mine for years in my own practice. But you're going to hear from him. We're going to learn from him. And we look forward to educating, warning, and inspiring the entire world. We'll be right back with Dr. Jeff.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Get one of these.
The educating, warning, inspiring the entire. Welcome back to the Dr. Artis Show. I'm your host, Dr. Brian Artis. We're excited that you're joining us today on this Wednesday. It is Wednesday in May of 2023. The sponsors for our show are the North Texas Healing Center. Go to northtexashealingcenter.com. You can visit with Dr. T and the group there. If you've got any illness, symptoms that you believe you can live without, let them help you find a pathway to healing. They've been our title sponsor here for the last couple of years and are very glad that they are doing that. And they're doing great work. And then also mypillow.com. Mike Lindell and his team obviously are trying to help as many people in the world who have any platforms whatsoever to actually continue to either share great products, get products into their home that they can trust. I use their towels every day, sweep with their pillows every day. He's obviously become a great colleague and a great way of helping to keep the mission going forward, which is providing opportunity revenue for us to actually have these platforms to continue educating, warning, and inspiring them. So go to mypillow.com, use the promo code DOCTOR, D-O-C-T-O-R is my promo code there. Or if you get too tired, you can use the promo code DR. short for doctor. That's also there at MyPillow.com when you go to check out. And then also Mike Adams' platform, BrideonStore.com. Use the same promo code doctor for anything you purchase there. It's an automatic additional discount of 5%. And then GraithCare.com. Go to GraithCare.com for advocacy work. If you have a loved one in hospitals or want someone coaching you how to live a drug-free life, that's what Priscilla Romans and GraithCare.com are for. And there's also a discount code there for any memberships that you sign up for or subscribe for using the promo code ARDIS, A-R-D-I-S. All right, so those are our sponsors. I can't be more proud of what they're doing there. And my condolences out to Dr. Rashid Buttar's family. I've already been a part of many, many discussions and platforms in the media discussing his passing, and will continue to do so. Before all that happens and before the conferences come out, we want to make sure that we keep you educated, warned, and inspired. And then I want you to know who you should trust in this world, because there's very few people I trust. So I try to introduce my audiences to people that I do trust, admire, and adore. And they have messages that are very similar to mine, which are, you don't need to be afraid. Life is great. Life has the potential to heal. There are miracles still occurring in life that you can benefit from and actually look forward to, even in the realm of physical, emotional, spiritual healing. So we're going to introduce you right now to Dr. Jeff Crippen. I want you to come on, show yourself. Say hi to the audiences, Jeff.
Well, hello, Dr. Artis. Hello to your audience. It's wonderful, wonderful to be here. My condolences to Doc's whole family for that passing.
Yeah, it's awful. It's horrific, yeah. Actually. And enough of that. We're trying to do as much as we can to support the family and the loved ones. But God rest his soul for being an incredible human, for advocating and testifying in national capitol buildings for decades on the natural cures for autism and cancer. That's what he was a specialist in, helping to reverse 4,000 cases of autism, 40,000 cases of cancer, using all natural remedies intravenously as a medical professional. So he had a lot of negativity that came his way from the medical boards, state boards. I mean, he actually spent $14 million, he told me personally, fighting the medical boards in his state.
Wow.
Just to allow him to continue to use the same therapies that he's been using for over 25 years to actually heal people from cancers and autism. And I just have to say this, how disgusting is it that individuals who are working and proving they can actually relieve these individuals of their fears, anxiety, panics, and social disorders that are created by these issues? Is it amazing they get attacked, challenged? I just find it disgusting. My audiences already know that, but it's a very solemn time. I didn't know it was going to hit me this hard, but it's been very devastating to me personally to see another colleague of mine pass, similar to when Dr. Zev Zelenko passed a year ago.
Yeah.
That was very hard too. I hated that. There's just people in our lives that we have to, that I personally see as heroes, people I can idolize, follow, want to join arms in as a brother or sister. And Dr. Buttar was definitely one of those for me. And so is Dr. Zev. And so are you, Dr. Jeff Crippen. A lot of my world may not know who you are, but I want you to educate them on who you are, why you became who you are. Dr. Crippen has a new book he just released. It's called Timeless Youth. I went to a book signing he did down in Dallas a few weeks ago. I just happened to be in town, thank goodness. And he signed my book. I don't know if you guys can get a signed copy, but I got one. So y'all can be envious. But I want you to take us through why it is you created this book called Timeless Youth. The subtitle is The Five Truths of Transformational Wellness and Holistic Healing. But take us through a little bit about who you are. Share with my audiences over the next 20 minutes or so who you are, why you are who you are, and why it is you became a chiropractor or a natural healer.
Well, yeah, awesome. And I think, you know, what we learned over the last 3 years through COVID is a lot, right? Incredible amount of, you know, corruption and incentives and hiding of the truth, you know, repressed remedies and all kinds of difficulties it had to find truth, right? And that's been a constant, constant theme throughout the last 3 years. But the one thing we also know is if you happen to get any symptoms, the healthier you were going into it, the healthier we're coming out of it, right? And there was a tremendous amount that someone could do to increase their health, to be healthier naturally. We did it all the time in our office. I know you've been educating people and you've have a great number of doctors on here talking about the many options we had. But how the heck did we know that, right? How the heck did we know that, hey, the body has a functioning immune system. The body needs no help, no interference. The body just needs some good nutrients. And you can actually figure some of this stuff out. And the body's been fighting off viruses or whatever has been going on for a while and floating through the water. The body has an incredible ability to fight this stuff off. And we just need some pieces of truth. So what motivated me to do the book is a similar thing, but a while ago, I had really bad headaches as a child. Started when I was 6 years old. At its worst, I had a headache for 2 years, every moment, every day, nonstop for a couple of years. And what do you do? did like a lot of people done in the last couple of years. You go to a doctor and then you go to another doctor and you go to another doctor. And I started with, you know, Motrin and Chilton's Tylenol and Chilton's Advil and, you know, throw out some brand names there. And then, you know, and then when that doesn't work, you try something stronger and then you go to prescription. Then you go to prescription. Then I then eventually did an MRI of my brain, you know, because headaches that don't respond to traditional pain relievers are a red flag symptom, especially in child. So they found something in my brain. They didn't know what it was. So the CT scan is what they did first. They found something. Then they did an MRI. It turns out I had a growth in my brain. Turns out it was benign. Let's call it an arachnoid, benign arachnoid cyst. Did about 10 or 11 more MRIs roughly over the next dozen or so years. Thing never grew. And they said, that's what's causing your headache. But what never understood is sometimes the headache was worse. Sometimes it was better. Sometimes on the left side of my head. Sometimes it's on the right side of my head. Sometimes it's worse in the morning, sometimes worse at night. And they're saying what was causing it was this thing that showed up in an MRI that never changed. And even at like 8 years old, part of me was like, that doesn't quite make sense, right? So that kind of started that journey of like, of looking for answers. And ultimately, if any of those doctors could have helped me and any of those drugs would have been here, I probably wouldn't have been here today, but it didn't. And I, you know, had built the practice and, you know, all kinds of patients who go through that exact same thing. You go to a doctor and they're covering up symptoms. They're treating the problem, which can be quite helpful if you're trying to treat a disease, but absolutely useless if you're actually trying to create health. So my own struggle motivated me. I was happened to me when I was a six-year-old kid. I hate seeing children who are ill, especially when there's so many things you can do to help them thrive. And that was the beginning of that journey. And eventually decided, this is what I want to do. Went to chiropractic school, spent the whole time focusing and knowing I wanted to work with holistic nutrition, and then, you know, graduated about a dozen years ago. And then I moved to Dallas. We know some similar people in the area, or I didn't know you at the time, but I said, who's doing this really well in the Dallas area? And they said, Artis is the man. I said, great. So that's how we met probably 8 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was awesome. So I have a question for you. Did you learn that headaches were not caused by Motrin deficiency?
Yeah. So that's one of the interesting things. It takes you a while to get to that point, but apparently, yeah, Motrin deficiency, Tylenol deficiency, ibuprofen deficiency, definitely not the sole cause of headaches.
So this thing never grew. Did you ever have it taken out?
Never had it took it out, but it's an interesting story. I met with a neurosurgeon when I was maybe about 8 years old. So shortly after they found it. And I remember sitting in the guy's office, his name was Dr. Wolf, and, you know, just sitting down there and he's like, you know, they're talking about the possibility of brain surgery to remove this thing in my head. And I'm on the couch thinking, cool, you know, I'm 8 years old. I don't know what's going on. I just know I got a really bad headache. It keeps getting worse. I can't play with my friends. And if this guy would have told me, hey, if we, you know, I'm thinking about brain surgery, it's like, you know, how bad can it be? And I was ready to have my, I was ready to say, cut me up, go into my brain, nonetheless. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Not knowing anything what was going on, but just being that desperate to say something can help. And also having that level of trust in doctors, because as I grew up, that's all I knew. And so you assume it's going to work and you kind of trust the guy with the white coat. And that was very much my viewpoint when I was 8 years old. So never had it taken out. For any football fans or college football fans, the head coach of Ohio State a few years ago in the University of Florida is a guy named Urban Meyer. So he retired from coaching twice because of really severe headaches. And he has that same abnormality, that congenital cyst. And I think there's different ways you can treat it. You can take it out. You can put a shunt in there. But anyway, that's another example of someone who has a similar condition who suffered from headaches. But anyway, that's what I had, still in there today. And I feel great.
Yeah. So, and no more headaches?
No more headaches. Yeah. And or to the point now when I get them, which is like, oh, so rarely, it's like, I know exactly what did it. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, I know what it is. I can handle it pretty quickly. And then I'm right through it. But okay. Nothing like 2 years spent on the couch trying to struggle through school.
That's awful.
I mean, it was just a totally different way of living. Although at the time it was barely what I could even call living when you're stuck that way. But yeah, totally different.
So just out of curiosity for me, because I like learning from people's experiences and stories are very powerful, but when's the last time you took Motrin?
I have never been asked that question on a podcast yet. And I love it.
Just curious.
It's been over 2 decades. So I'm 38. I bet it's been closer to 3 decades. I bet it was sometime in that early teens for sure. Definitely never since I was 18 years old. So 20 plus years working on 30. Yeah.
Okay, great. So I want to ask for anybody in the last watching this, who's had loved ones who are having headaches in the last 2 decades, who are swallowing Motrin, Advil, Tylenol, you name it, every day, or injecting themselves with Emetrix, a drug. Are you doing that? So I want to ask you said it from time to time, sometimes you'll start to get a headache, sometimes, but not very often. But if it does, you don't get scared and you're obviously not popping Motrin. So what do you do now? Like, what did you learn to do to take care and manage your headaches so where they're not as often, not as severe, and when they come up, they're very limiting?
Yeah, great. So first of all, I actually find the stressor. So simple rule for anything in health, probably anything in life, every effect has a cause. So if all of a sudden you're going on in life and you don't have high blood pressure, and then all of a sudden you do, guess what? Something changed. And if you find that moment when that symptom started, you can learn a lot about the cause of it, right? And you just dive down into that moment. So all of a sudden someone doesn't have a headache, then they do have a headache. There's a moment of change, and that moment of change is rich with the symptom. And none of it says take more Motrin, right? So that's what I do. Basically, you go down, you deep dive, trying to find what it is, and look for the stressor that's kind of sitting there. And what I'll tell you, just from working with patients,
what's your stressor?
Right. Well, what are my stressors? Sometimes working with a lot of clients, and when I work with those clients, sometimes I can feel the pain and I can feel the difficulty of what they're going through. And sometimes you're working with clients on the wellness side. We also do individual mindset coaching, and when you're working with clients through really traumatic situation. The most recent example was a client was processing, working through an experience or telling me about an experience of a molestation and going through that experience themselves. And it was actually physically ill. I mean, I was physically ill going through that, having what I think was a tremendous amount of empathy, understanding what that client was going through, doing my best to understand and duplicate what that client was going through. That was the last time it was there. And then what helped it get better was, one, spotting it wasn't mine, and two, helping the client through it get to a better spot. That helped release it from me. So that was the most recent example. Yeah.
And it's incredible. I just wanted to see what your experience was, and what did you notice as a trigger, or you have experienced as a trigger? And I'll tell you, there are lots of times, Jeff, you knew me in practice, and you're even a patient in the practice for years. But many, many patients that came into me when I got into the emotional work, releasing traumas physically from people to help them heal. That's a massive cause of disease and disorder and disease and symptoms. But when I'd release them, there were many times working through this with patients where I would take on their symptoms, or I would start having symptoms, and it was very overwhelming at times. I think empathy is the perfect word you just said. You don't know if it's your empathy for loving that individual, caring for that individual.
Absolutely.
You actually want to take their pain from them. And you do often. We often do as healers take that on ourselves and have to keep ourselves balanced. But thank you for recognizing that. And people at home will benefit from knowing that.
And empathy is an incredible gift, because as a practitioner, if you can have empathy, then you can understand what's going on with them. Now, that's the positive side. The downside is you can misown it if you're not fully aware of it. And as we go through this, you get better spotting what's yours and not, but also you keep working with clients, you keep finding new areas you're not better and better at, and areas you need to get better and better at. And that's what keeps working through. So every time I do this, I feel like much more stability working with clients, helping them through those traumas, those shocks, those losses, those confusion, those overwhelms. But still there's moments where it hits you and you feel that sucker punch in the gut, and you're there and the client's got a box of Kleenex, or you're working through something with them and you can feel that anyway. And there's times it affects me. So that's probably the most common cause of my headache now, and probably almost exclusively that.
All right. So then how do you handle, what are any other stressors you think for you that you've noticed that actually could be a trigger for you to experience a headache? This might be meaningful to other people. Is there anything outside of stress and empathy moments for other people that you've seen or triggers?
For me personally, so I'll tell you what used to do it, and since I cut it out, so I noticed sugar was a major thing. So that was something I definitely stressed out. Sometimes doing too much exercise, over exercising, going too hard could be a trigger for that.
What about running marathons like you used to do?
I ran one. I got to the finish line, and they were like, "Oh, you got to drink electrolytes." I was like, no, I'm fine. Trust me, I'm fine. I'm feeling good. And my dad's like, I ran it with my dad. I was trying to help him qualify for Boston. So I jump up, I slap the finish line sign. I'm yelling like, I'm not feeling great. And I'm fine. I'm fine. I like take six more steps in the line to get like the blanket and the banana or whatever. And I faint, boom, hit the ground. And then they're like, you need to drink Gatorade. And I was like, I'm not drinking it. It's full of sugar. It probably wasn't the best thing to say at the time, but anyone would be fine. But that was my experience finishing a marathon, my one and only. But I could tell you, I had a lot of sore muscles at the end of that. A moment, a spell of fainting. And I remember that it was a flight back from Pennsylvania down here to Dallas. And I'll tell you, that was on a Sunday night, so Sunday afternoon. And I'll tell you, that was a tough couple days for sure.
Now, in the next segment, the next 22-minute segment, I would like to get into your book and talk about some of the principles in your book, Timeless Youth by Dr. Jeff Crippen. But before that, I want to ask you another question that I'm not sure very many people have probably asked you, but I actually like knowing pick one of your favorite books of all time you've read that had a major impact on you and your life that you would like to share with audiences that you believe would have a similar impact.
That is super, super tough because there's been so many. The one around this area, there's a Dr. Bruce Lipton wrote a book called The Biology of Belief. And then he did an audio program that was very similar to that called The Wisdom of Cells. And he gets deep into epigenetics and kind of how the spirit, mind, body connection works at a cellular level. And he talks about the cells tapping into the energetic force around the body. Anyway, I found that fabulous and transformational. So there's a whole bunch. I actually list a few more in the back of the book, but that is one I list in the book because I found that. I'll give one more just because I'm excited by the question, but The Dancing Woolly Masters by Gary Zuboff.
I've never read that.
He also wrote a book, Seed of the Soul, which is another one that he's somewhat well known for, but it's basically on how quantum physics, and basically it's a practical understanding of quantum physics written for the layperson. It's quantum physics meets spirituality is really what it is. That's fantastic, awesome. Fantastic book.
Have you read Quantum Healing by Deepak Chopra? Is it similar to that or no?
Yeah, I have. Quantum Healing, Deepak comes a little bit more from the medical side, from my memory of it, and Zuboff comes a little bit more from the quantum physics side and basically looks at energy affecting particles in the atom and flicking in and out of existence. So there's similar slants there's different slants on a similar topic. But I'd say if you liked one, it'd be a little more physics, but it's incredibly fascinating.
So what's the name of that book again?
That's The Dancing Wooly Masters. And it's Zuboff, Zubav is, I believe, how you spell his last name. Gary Zuboff.
The Dancing Wooboff. Is that right?
Dancing Wooly Masters.
I'm thinking like Wooly Mammoth. Wooly Masters.
Wooly Masters by Gary Zuboff is the name. He also wrote Seed of the Soul. So that's a little shorter name and easier to find. But that's, those are a couple awesome ones.
I have never Googled the word woolly masters. So anyway, I don't think anybody's ever done that either, unless they were looking for that book. But I would absolutely say you should look at that book. And I will say thank you for referencing Bruce Lipton, which is awesome. He's actually one of the speakers that was supposed to be at the Advanced Conference this weekend and where I was going to be speaking. So Bruce Lipton will not be there, but he actually did an interview last week with Dr. Buttar that some people have already watched. And man, even today they're mentioning that in watching that just this last week, that interview, man, he was very humorous, very uplifting, very, very excited about life and feeling very good. So everybody's very shocked by this. But anyway, Bruce Lipton is a great hero to Buttar and obviously to you. And I love his books and everybody should study those principles. The Biology of Belief for sure is one of my favorites also. And I'll just throw out there, one of my favorite, most simple books I like to recommend to people is The Anatomy of an Illness by Norman Cousins.
Absolutely.
Just getting back to the basics of if you're sick and unwell, how he defeated a terminal illness with three basic principles. Number one, get sleep. Number two, take your vitamin C. Number three, laugh often. I mean, that's really the basics, right? Laughter is the best medicine. So, all right. So thank you, Dr. Jeff Crippen. We're going to be right back on the other side of these commercial break to talk more about his book, Timeless Youth with Dr. Crippen. All right. We'll be right back.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com. The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing. while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrightEonStore.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Artist Show. I'm your host, Dr. Brian Artist, and I would like to again share with the sponsors of for this 22-minute segment. I hope you enjoyed the first 22 minutes. I did. All right, so the sponsors for this segment are KirkElliottPhD.com. Go to KirkElliottPhD.com/artist and go there and sign up. There's an online form. Just put in your information. It's a free consultation. If you or anyone in your entire life are concerned about your finances being destroyed and taken from you and converted into some digital currency, if you want to know how to navigate those waters financially, you should actually talk to Kirk Elliott, PhD. He's got two PhDs, one in theology and one in finance. So this guy knows what he's talking about. And economics, sorry, economics, theology, and finance. So this guy's a busy guy and very brilliant. So trust him. And then I would recommend H2Bev.com. I start every day with my nitric oxide infused with hydrogen drink from H2Bev.com. It's called HydroShot. I recommend that to everybody. 8 hours of oxygen-rich nitric oxide in the human body for up to 8 hours. That's why I use it every day. And start every day with it. And then we've got growwaterhydromax.com. If you are growing organic vegetables at home, you know, while they're trying to put mRNA injections and venom and poisons and stuff inside your food, and you want to start growing your own garden, you might not want to add your city water to it. The city water has glyphosate, it has fluoride, it has chlorine, it's got all kinds of poisons in there. You should be filtering the water you're putting on your organic plants at home. growwatermaxhydro.com. Use the promo code artist. You'll get 10% off anything there. And then also drstellamd.com, because I like her and the world tried to conspire against her for the last 3 years. drstellamd.com. You can go to her website, get shirts, books, read from her books and get educated. If you ever really, truly need prescriptions and it's a life emergency, I would contact Dr. Stella MD. Go to drstellamd.com. All right, Jeff Crippen, let's bring you back on. Those are our sponsors. We're glad they're here. We're going to spend the next 22 minutes or so, or 20 minutes, talking about your new book. All right, we learned a little bit about your journey, going from headaches, debilitating headaches for 2 years as a child, finding out how stressors are creating symptoms in your life that are impacting your life. And now you've become a chiropractor, have your own clinic, live in Dallas after you fainted in your marathon, after you finished, crossed the finish line. You've written a book titled Timeless Youth. And the five truths of transformational wellness and holistic healing. I think we should start there. I would like you to tell our audiences, let's start with number one truth. What's one of the five truths that people need to read this book and learn from that you've learned and applied to your patients successfully? So,
yeah, awesome. And if I could just add one note on Anatomy of an Illness by Norman Cousins. I read that when I was sick and had headaches. And one of the things I applied as I was laying on my couch, I love comedy, specifically improv comedy. So I would watch reruns of Whose Line Is It Anyway? If anybody remembers that show, absolutely loved it. Colin Mochrie, Ryan Stiles. That would just like, that was the closest thing I could do to implement that. But I was intentionally trying to model, not all that book, but I just, anyway, that's like, it would just help take my mind off the headache a little bit. Sometimes you laugh too hard, it makes the headache worse. But anyway, if the headache's going to get worse, it might as well be because you're laughing. Yep. So anyway, I love that recommendation from you, Doc. Awesome. So first principle is something I call the Yellowstone principle. And this goes back to a gentleman named Aristotle, lived a couple thousand years ago, who said the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So in this principle, I tell the story of Yellowstone. About 20, 30 years ago, they were facing a major crossroads. The ecosystem was all out of balance. They were losing. There was way too many elk. So, and they tried to start shooting the elk, right? And then they're just shooting elk and killing massive amount of elk, but still they have an overpopulation of elk. And on top of that, they were losing trees, which was losing the habitat for the songbirds. And because they were losing trees, there was erosion of the streams. They were losing beaver, otter, muskrat population, and they were having this like total change in the ecosystem of Yellowstone. And they're trying to figure out what the heck is causing this. So they thought maybe it's too many elk. So like I said, so they're shooting elk and they're shooting elk and they're shooting elk, and they can't bring it under control. They still have the river problem. They still have the erosion problem. They still have the lack of songbirds. They still have the deforestation or losing to the trees, the aspens and the other trees in Yellowstone. So trying to figure out what is the problem. And after they're done shooting elk for a couple decades, they have this bright idea. What if we add back the wolf? And if you know the history of Yellowstone, if you go back, it's the largest national park in the world. I think it's 2.2 million acres. So this thing covers part of three states. I mean, just massive, massive. But what happened is in the early 1920s, they killed all the wolves, trapped them and killed them because they were killing livestock. So they killed all the wolves in the park. And through that time, it threw the ecosystem out of balance. So what they did is in this national park, the size of 2.2 million acres, they introduced 23 wolves over the course of 2 years. So 23 wolves in a 2.2 million acre park. And what they did is the wolves changed the behavior of the elk. So not only were they a natural predator, so they hunted them, but it moved where the elk were. So they were up in the higher areas, the grasslands and the aspen trees were able to regenerate. The birds returned. When those trees regenerated, there was more wood for the beavers to make their dam, reverse the erosion of the rivers and streams. Muskrats had a home. And anyway, the whole ecosystem came back into balance. And I think that's one of the main things we're doing in healthcare. We're shooting elk instead of looking at the whole picture. So that is the example of holism. And, you know, medicine promotes people based on specialization. You're a general practitioner, then you specialize in oncology, then you specialize in pediatric oncology, then you specialize in children's leukemia within pediatric oncology. And the more specialized you get, the more knowledge you get, the more promotions you get, and you get incredible knowledge. They have incredible knowledge and incredible technology in the medical system. But it's so darn easy to lose track of the whole, right? How many patients did you have on your clinic or are listening to the show right now, Dr. Artis, who have a blood pressure medication and they get a symptom of that and then they start getting headaches and then it's affecting their kidneys and then they're on Tylenol and one drug becomes three drugs, it becomes five drugs, all because there isn't a single person looking at the whole of how those drugs interact. It's an idea called polypharmacy. They've never studied really more two or more different drugs and how they interact with each other, because it's absolutely impossible. But that is a huge problem, and everyone needs a quarterback, you know, to go back to your sponsor there. Everyone needs a quarterback of their healthcare team, someone to look at all the pieces and say, hey, we got a specialist here, we got a specialist, we got a specialist here, but the generalist, which in medicine is the lowest rung, actually should be elevated to the highest rung, because somebody who could see the whole picture is incredibly valuable. So anyway, that's the first principle, that of the Yellowstone principle, or the power of holism.
Well, I've constantly spoken of, even when you were probably a patient in my practice 10 years ago when we first met, I've consistently said, I believe the first downfall of medicine, the medical complex overall, was the specializing of medicine. Because it took away people being educated and watching how the entire body worked as a whole. And then it's so easy to just say, well, I don't know what the problem is. Go see this person, go see this kidney specialist, go see this liver person. And when you're only looking at one part of the human body, I mean, it's phenomenal. And I'll just say it here. For example, one of the limitations here for me was every glaucoma patient I ever saw, they're only seeing eye specialists, and the eye specialists are looking in the eyes, doing scans of the eyes, doing lasers in the eyes. And the truth is, there's only one part of the body that retains water, and that's what's causing glaucoma, is excess water retention in the chambers of your eye, and it can't change shape. It's swelling with water retention. Well, Jeff, we educate people. I already knew this from all the years of study and clinical application. There's one set of organs that are responsible for removing and managing how much water's in the body, and that's your kidneys. But there's no eye doctor looking at your kidneys. They're all just looking at your eyeballs like, oh, the problem's only here. Well, no, that's not true. If you go fix the kidney problem and remove the extra water retention and improve kidneys function, glaucoma is reversed. And we did it over and over and over. I never had to do anything to their eyes. I just had to feed them stuff to get their kidneys moving and healed, and change stuff in their diet that was impeding the kidneys function. So this is just an example of holistic medicine. What's the difference when you're only looking at one small area? Oh, you're missing out on the entire system as a whole. The body is a system, an incredible system. Love that. All right. Yeah, anything else you want to say about the Yellowstone principle?
No. Well, that's a perfect, I just want to say that's a perfect example of glaucoma. Literally, like you just said, it is high blood pressure of the eye. Well, if you got high blood pressure of the eye, it's not that different than high blood pressure in the rest of your body. And if you could figure that out, it's like you said, the genius of focusing on, oh my gosh, it's elevated intraocular pressure is the fancy term. It's elevated pressure in the eye. Well, where, what could be going on? And to have someone see that on your team and look at that, because it's so obvious, yet it's so hard to find. Right. So I think, anyway, that's a perfect example you just gave there.
All right. So next principle, let's go to principle number two. I'm looking at them. Do you want me to read them? The Model A principle. One size does not fit all. I like that.
Yes. One. So yeah. So newsflash here, you're different than I am. Right. And your listeners are different than us, right?
That's exactly right.
A lot of medicine. So the fancy principle is called something called biochemical individuality, which basically means you have different needs than I do. Now, this is like, should be the most obvious thing in the planet. Some people are short, some are tall. Some have more hair, some are less hair. Some have more weight, some have less, you know, more overweight, some are more underweight, right? Some people have big feet, some people have small feet, right? We could go through this, all that. And that's all maybe seems like silly stuff, but the first 2 inches of the artery that comes out of your heart can be in like 13 different configurations. The piriformis muscle and the sciatic nerve that a lot of people said, hey, my back hurts, chiropractor, it's my sciatic nerve, which may or may not be, but all back pain from patients, it seems to be sciatic nerve related. Yep. But that can have like 7 different configurations just going through the piriformis muscle, over, through, around, sideways, split. So we have incredible, you know, and that even more stunning is we have a similar way of practicing. What I found is I always wondered, how do some people need a lot more B vitamins and some people need less? And how are some people burning through their zinc more quickly than others? And, you know, how do some people totally good with one nutrient and others need a lot more, either in food or supplement form, to be healthy? And then, so the principle is called the idea is biochemical individuality. And the guy who wrote it is a guy named Roger Williams. So he was a PhD researcher at the University of Texas, and he discovered 2 B vitamins and his brother discovered a 3rd. So these guys are like, you know, these guys are like the biochemists in the area. So he wrote a book called Biochemical Individuality. And what he says in that book helped me understand what I was seeing with my patients and myself, which was some nutrient requirement can vary up to 100x person to person. So the amount of vitamin C someone needs versus their daughter, versus their mom, versus their sister can be 100x different. And we know this, like roughly weightlifters need more protein than others. We saw this incredibly through COVID. I can't think of another better example through COVID than how much zinc did someone need through that experience, right? Loss of taste and smell, you know, the hair falling out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months after, right? So that's just one example of the incredible biochemical individuality we have. So that's the Model A principle. One size does not fit all. And the story goes back to the Model T, which was the best-selling car in the world. You could famously get the Model T in any color as long as it was black. And it, you know, they were selling millions a year rolling off the line. Ford famously refused to listen to his customers and refused to listen to salespeople. And he said, if I would have asked my customers what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse and buggy. Right. So he just said, I don't care what you guys think. So there's an upstart down the street called General Motors. And a gentleman named Sloan was running it at the time. And he said his policy was a car for every purse and purpose. So every budget and use, he came up with a different car. So he had all kinds of different cars. And by 1924 to 27, the Model T was the single most popular car ever made by far. And by 1929, I think, but within a few years, it was totally non-existent. And Ford had to shut down the factory. They had to close it for 3 to 6 months to totally retool everything. And the car that came after it was the Model A. And in that car, the Model A, he embraced this idea of individuals. Everything wasn't one size fits all. And, you know, Ford recovered from that and is growing to where they are today.
So not one size does not fit all. That is very, very true. And that's a great principle. And everybody is uniquely different. Absolutely. And then the third principle you have here is the quantum principle, the power of no thing. All right. So I want you to educate the audiences on this power of no thing.
No thing being the abbreviation of nothing, but no hyphen thing or nothing. So what this is goes all the way back to a gentleman named Einstein. It goes to the beginning of quantum physics. What they did is they looked at the atom. And the whole innovation of quantum physics, if I was going to generalize it down to like two sentences, which is probably a gross generalization, any physicist here would tell me it's a lot more complicated than that, and I'm sure it is. But basically, quantum physics is about energy. And what they basically said is the atom, which if we go back to physics class in high school, was the building block of molecules, which is the building block of everything in the universe, including the body, including the tables, including our chairs. They're all made of these little tiny atoms, like little tiny Legos that make up the body. And what they found is that building block, that little Lego, the atom that makes up the entire universe, is actually 99.996% empty space. So it's the Legos are made of nothing, only that nothing is energy. So these Legos are entirely, these atoms are entirely made of energy. Not entirely, 99.996% energy. So if the atom's made of energy, which means the liver's made of energy, which means the body's made of energy, which means the cars and the planes and, you know, the floor and the houses are made of energy. But if everything's made of energy, don't you think it'd be a good idea to understand how energy affects the body? And that's,
I think so.
And that, and that's the quantum principle. There's a gentleman named McClare at Oxford University, and he actually looked at cells. And he said cells were 100 times more sensitive to energetic stimuli, to energy, than they were to physical stimuli like hormones, like nutrients, like, you know, toxins. So these things are 100 times more sensitive to energy. And to give your listeners a practical example, I just ask them, how many of you have walked into like a dinner party or met some friends and saw that person across the room you just don't like and felt your body shiver or felt your mood level drop or get this sinking feeling in your stomach or start to feel ill and want to leave, right? Yeah, what actually changed physically? me too, right? What changed physically in your body at that time? Nothing. What changed energetically? Everything. But that energetic change has a very real physical effect. And that's a really important principle to realize. And just one more side note is medicine uses this all the time, right? It's called an X-ray. It's called an MRI. There's a procedure called lithotripsy where they break up kidney stones using ultrasound. So medicine uses energy waves all the time, some of the time, but then they seem to forget that it can affect the rest of health. And anyway, that is the quantum principle, the importance of understanding that, because that is a key building block of health. And like, you know, I do think it's, you know, incredibly, incredibly powerful. And like McClare said, up to 100 times more powerful than even physical stimuli.
Well, I think it is amazing. And I absolutely am convinced that sound and energy are absolutely being utilized by the medical profession, obviously. I mean, look at LASIK surgery. All they're using is wavelengths of light, which is energy only, to correct your vision. I mean, this is ways they're using energy as a medicinal therapeutic. So absolutely. Yeah. I love that.
Great example. Great example. Yeah.
And then let's look at the fourth principle. We got about four more minutes left in our show here, brother. All right. So Olympic strength principle. How Titanic problems lead to Olympic strength.
So we'll buzz through this one for your listeners, but I think I start off the book saying the medical system is like the Titanic. It is the biggest, it's got the best, it's the nicest technology, but there ain't enough lifeboats and it's sinking fast. Yep. Right. So the question is, are we trying to fix the Titanic or are we trying to build that lifeboat? So anyway, that's how I start off the book. And the Olympic was actually the sister ship to the Titanic. So that Titanic actually had two sister ships that were nearly identical. One was like a foot longer than the other because they wanted to keep breaking the world record. But anyway, the idea of the Olympic principle is how stress can make us stronger. So when the Titanic sunk, the Olympic got stronger. They added something called a double hull on the outside of the Titanic. So there's two hulls to prevent it from sinking. They added more lifeboats. They reinforced different parts of the body or different parts of the boat. So they strengthened up the Olympic as a result of stress. So what does that teach us about the body? Well, how do we strengthen up? How does that principle of, you know, it's called hormesis, right? How stress makes us stronger. But how does that happen in the body? Well, exercise is a stress that makes us stronger. You know, having a competent immune system, being exposed to something, surviving it makes their immune system stronger. Weight-bearing exercise makes our bones stronger. It's something called Wolf's Law. It's one of the most important things. You know, you probably have that same experience of people come in with osteoporosis and they're taking calcium carbonate, which roughly is limestone. So if you think limestone's difficult to digest, you're going to have trouble with calcium carbonate. It's the same stuff the Florida Keys and the pyramids are made out of in Egypt. So anyway, they're taking that thinking that's helping their osteoporosis. When one of the best things they can do is move, walk, weight-bearing exercise, gives powerful stimuli to that. So anyway, that's the principle, how stress can make us stronger.
Yeah, I love that. Those are great examples, man. Love it. Love the analogy of the Titanic and the Olympic. Yeah, I love it. All right, then our fifth principle, the golden you principle, which I think is probably the reason why you wrote the book was to get to this principle. So the golden you principle, the power of the infinite you. All right, let's get into that.
Yeah. And that's basically, you know, one of the things that there was a lot of frustrating parts of chiropractic school for me. And one of them was when they spent about 2 years, in my opinion, trying to turn us into bad medical doctors. That was my opinion. It spent a lot of time on diagnosis, a lot of time on treatment of medical conditions, which is a skill and it takes a lot of knowledge. But I wasn't particularly interested in it. I wanted to help people get well and not diagnose disease sooner. And anyway, the 2 years doing that were incredibly frustrating for me. But one of the things I loved about chiropractic school was, you know, the body is a self-healing, self-regulating organism. And basically it has an incredible ability to heal. We, as spiritual beings, have incredible ability to heal the body. In fact, it's the only darn thing we know how to do, unless something else gets in the way. So this principle is all about how do you unlock that innate ability to heal? And just recognizing that you walk into your doctor and nobody knows more about your health than you. And if you don't like your doctor and they don't listen to you, you should fire them. Including, Amen. You should fire me. If you walk into my office and don't like what I have to say, you have all your right to fire me. Because guess what? Your health is your responsibility. And you want someone who's going to work with you to help you unlock that body's ability to heal. And as you do that, you will create health. And as you don't do that, you will manifest disease.
Absolutely. All right. So Dr. Jeff Crippen, where can they find your Timeless Youth book?
Got one here as well. So it's Timeless Youth, Y-O-U-T-H, the title is a play on the number one and the most important truth in your health is you. So you can get it anywhere books are sold. So you can definitely find it on Amazon. If you have a favorite local bookstore you'd like to support, you can call them. They can order it, or if they don't have it. Yeah, you can basically get anywhere books are sold. And the reason I wrote this book is because there's too many people struggling with their health. And I actually wrote it for me when I was 6 years old. Probably not for me to read, but what would I wish my parents have known? And what do I wish when patients come into the clinic and they say, I've got a friend in Idaho. I got a friend in this person. How do I help my sister or whoever understand health? Or they've been to doctor after doctor and they look at the blood work and say, they're fine. Let me give you an antidepressant because they don't understand what chronic fatigue is or don't understand autoimmune disease or don't understand, you know, it's blood work looks okay. I guess you're fine, but they're tired and they're frustrated and maybe a little pissed off over time. And that's why I wrote the book, to help them understand what health is. Instead of being stuck in the system, it's caring for disease.
Well, all the principles in your book, The Timeless Youth, I absolutely 100% agree with. So I actually recommend that to everybody, that you have that in your home. And then I want you to tell the audiences, just perhaps, maybe they want your help physically at some point. Where can they follow you, find you, where you're located? Tell them how to get a hold of you.
Practice in a big bustling metropolis called St. Joe, Texas. You've been up here once, the doctor, at least once. And it was, it's a town of 1,000 people. So we're about 90 miles north of Dallas for anybody who wants to visit. But the best place to probably find me is on Instagram. And the name is, you can just follow me under my name, Jeff, J-E-F-F Crippen, C-R-I-P-P-E-N. Find me on Instagram. You can contact us through, there's a website for the book. If you do want a signed copy, if you want to be as cool as Dr. Artis, it's timelessyouthbook.com. You can request a signed copy and be Well, we can all just only hope to be as cool as Dr. Artis. But anyway, we can get one step closer with that sign book.
That's generally what people are looking for when they tune in. How do we get to be that cool? No, I'm just kidding.
Just baby steps there each day, and it's a great day.
That's right. I've been working on it for 46 years now, so it's going to take you a little while to be at this cool.
But you might as well start now if you're going for it.
Or conspiratorial, whatever it might be. All right, Dr. Jeff Crippen, I really appreciate you. I hope everybody can benefit from the book you wrote, and I'm proud of you for writing that. And thank you for actually taking a stand and taking what you experienced as a child, turn that into something positive to help relieve other people of symptoms that they might be finding themselves struggling with, like you did, without an answer early on in your life. So I commend all those that are actually doing that for people worldwide, and you're doing that for me and for my audiences. So I appreciate you.
Awesome. And thank you for the stand you took through COVID, through seeing through the lies and the nonsense, and for just being an inspiration for so many people, including myself, including patients who come in here, and including, I'm sure, many people listening to you. I just, you know, when you look at, you know, great doctors or great healers or people standing up with leadership who go down, like the, who were healthy a week before, I don't know anything about what happened. You know, it takes courage. I'll just say this, it takes courage to stand up and speak truth to some of these areas. So I just really want to commend you for all the good you've done, and just keep on doing it, and happy to continue our friendship and see you in a week or two when we next meet.
I'm looking forward to it. All right. God bless you, Dr. Artis. This is a Dr. Artis's show's audience. I am Dr. Artis. We will see you next week. God bless you all.